Everybody, the Skimocast is back with a new episode, and I think this is gonna be a really interesting one, as today's guest comes from the world of professional cycling. Markel Irizar is 44-year-old former pro cyclist from Spain who spent 16 years at the highest level of cycling. He was one of the team's most dedicated domestics, starting 21 Grand Tours. After Markel's career ended, he stayed with the Lidl Trek team as sports director and coach. In addition, he also found time for hobbies, including Skimo, and we will speak a bit more about this hobby in the upcoming minutes. So, Markel, thanks for finding the time, and welcome to the Skimocast.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
How are you doing right now? Because I guess you are very busy. We are just 2 days before Ronde van Vlaanderen, one of the biggest classics. So tell us more about the atmosphere around spring classics, what you are up to right now.
Yeah, here we are. No, we are now. I am in Belgium, to attend. We have tomorrow a sponsor event. Then Sunday we have Ronde van Vlaanderen. I'm here with our family to be as a supporter to cheer our team. And then I will spend a couple of days before joining Paris-Roubaix. Paris-Roubaix we are gonna do with the U23 team. Also we have the juniors there that they would like to scout. So let's say it's 50% of job and 50% of work. Of hobby time and work time also.
People say the classics have a special atmosphere, that it's not, I would say, different sport, but for the spectators, it's maybe very different when it comes to the atmosphere around the racing, the party, the beers, and so on. Can you explain this to us? Because, you know, in Skimo, we have special races, like you did one of them, Pierramenta, but, you know, it's so different. Skimo is very small in comparison to cycling.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in the end, in the classics, like you said, the atmosphere is different, you know, they are really passionate, you know, and here, especially here in Flanders, what it makes the race different is the people, the supporters, the fans, the Belgium. For the Belgian people, are cycling is a religion. So I think this is one of the key of the success or why they are so important. So let's say, to make an idea, we would make a comparison, would be like why Pierramenta is so different to the other Skimo racing, you know? Probably because the supporters that they are in the Grandmont and how, you know, how they cheer and the feeling, you know, when you are coming there, you know, when you ride to the top, the feeling that what you have, probably this makes Pierramenta different, no? So in Flanders, happens more or less the same, and it's super nice. And I have experienced this as a rider for many years, and now with the family. I mean, my kids and my wife will be first time that they are there, but even my mother-in-law, all my cousins, uncles, and we are everybody. All my from my mom's family, we are everybody here. Let's say I'm Irizar Aramburu in Spain, back country. Also, you know, you have the first last name is the last name of the dad. The second last name is the last name of the mom. So I am Irizar Aramburu. So we are all the Aramburus here. So it's gonna be crazy. And I'm looking forward to see them enjoying this because I have experienced this as a rider, and I think as a supporter, it's gonna be also super nice.
Before speaking about Pierramenta, tell us, how did you get into ski mountaineering? Because I know that cyclists have very strict rules. You are not allowed to ski, because the knees and the danger is there. So when did you start and how?
Quite crazy. So I ski when I was 13, 14 years old, 2 years, just a little bit. My parents, they were not big fans. And honestly, we didn't have so much money either to go. So I went there what I could save. And then I always love it, you know. But I stopped when I was 15, I think, when 15, 16 maybe. Because I was super focused on cycling, and I didn't ski for 24 years, no? Until I was 40. So, like you said, because of the contract, because it's dangerous, because of the knees, and etc. I didn't ski until I stopped in 2019. So, in the winter of 2020, I started skiing. So then I had to start again to learn. Of course, after 25 years, and it's not like my level was super high. I mean, it's not like my parents had an apartment in the mountains and I was skiing since I was 3 years old. No, I ski 10 times, 15 times. And so I didn't know basically nothing. No? So I started when I was 40, just to learn in the ski slopes. Yeah, I mean, my level was okay, nothing special. And last year I did Skim Andorra. That was quite a long race as well. Then I learned something, but I mean, technically, still I'm okay in the ski slopes. When I am outside, still I suffer even more with this small ski that they use. You know, I was used to have like 78 white skis. With them, I feel quite okay. But now everybody uses big 64 there. So I bought a set of 71 for Piera, but still I think that I was one of the only ones with more than 70. So yeah, I didn't, honestly, I was not prepared to do Piera Menta. I had the training camp with the team, then I had to go to Mallorca, then I had to go to Jaén, then I had another training camp. So let's say I had 20 days of ski, more or less I would do, I think, 20, I didn't count, but 20, 22,000 meters of climbing, and the Piera, there were like 10,000 something. So
wow.
physically, I mean, the ski days, I didn't have enough, you know, like, because with my job, it's not so easy, you know. So when I am with the training camps in December, January, I run 40 minutes in the morning, and then I don't have nothing, time to do nothing else, no? So yeah, I mean, was not easy. Like I said, technically also, like, you know, I had to suffer, you know, in the new ski or new snow, you know, sometimes the snow conditions, you know, like it changed so much. And then also technical or material wise, you know, like everybody was with carbon boots and with super light stuff and everything. And then I realized, like, maybe I should not be as conservative, you know. I'm a heavy guy, and I always say that I want to bring something that is like quite strong, quite stiff, even if it is a little bit, has more weight. But then I realized, like, there to make a Piera, you need to go like everything super, super light.
Yeah, that's skimo racing, you know it now. That's very different to ski touring or backcountry skiing, or, you know, the other names the people are using. Yeah, but it seems that you enjoyed it a lot with your teammates, with the friends, because you were like a big group, yeah, there, people from Spain or Basque Country who enjoyed the race. And tell us more about the Piera Menta. How you look back on the stages? Which stage was maybe the most nice for you, or you enjoyed the most?
So the first 2 days we had super good weather. We did, I think, 3,000 meters first day. Second one, I think, was 3,200 or 3,300.
Yeah.
And then the day of Grammont, that was the third one, the weather was not so good. And that day, I think that we did 2,400 or something like this. And the last day was 1,800. So the first 2 days, they were super nice with good weather. So you could see everything, you know, like not foggy, nothing, you know, like, so they were super good. The day of the Grammont was nice, but it was a pity that I was a little bit foggy, you know, so you couldn't see as much as the previous days. And then the last day, I didn't enjoy so much because, you know, like, I knew that I was going to finish, you know, that for me was a big challenge. Even there, we're sleeping in La Chornais. So let's say, like, in Piera Menta, just everybody sleeps in the same zones. So we were in a kind of chalet or something like this. And yeah, many of them, they knew that I was a cyclist, no? So, and they knew how I was prepared. So they were saying, hey, if you finish this, like, you know, like, hey, you have big balls, you know? So the last day I was like, hey, it's almost done, Markel. And then in the descent, I was like thinking, like, I don't need to crash. I don't need to crash. I don't need to crash. So I was taking care of not crashing, and maybe I think I was blocked. It is true that Piera Menta was finishing on Saturday. After the race, after the stay, sorry, the plan was to take the van, go to the Basque Country, so driving 1,000 Ks, and next morning I was flying to Porta Catalunya because I was working there as a DS. Yeah. So I was thinking, now I can crash, because if I crash, then we have 1 DS less, you know. So the last day I didn't enjoy so much because this kind of stress, but yeah, I think the nicest was the Grammont. Was honestly, it was first time in my life that I was there with the you know, with all the roads, and then in the I don't know how it is in English, the arista, you know, when you come to Grammont.
Yeah.
So it was a kind of challenge for me, but it is true that I was going with my cousin that yeah, he has so much experience, and let's say he was a kind of guide for me, you know. He's super strong, so he offered himself to tell me, okay, I'm gonna be your guide, I'm gonna help you in everything technically. Yeah, the goal was to finish the race. So yeah, I told him the only condition is, like, I was not gonna use the row, you know. I was gonna do it by myself. And even I told him, don't bring the row in your backpack. Even if I am done, I'm gonna do myself. And that's it. I'm a super nice experience. Super nice experience. And especially all the people that I met there in Mashonai, you know, with the skiers and all the environment. Like, yeah, we learn a lot and from the experience they have. So yeah, super, super nice. Really super nice.
What was maybe the most difficult aspect? You said something about the downhills, but did you have any problems, for example, with the heat in the first day? Because it was too hot, I would say. A bit too hot. Yeah, like, you are cyclists. You are used to race in France when it's 40 degrees for 200 kilometers. But I guess for snow and Skimo, it was too hot, yeah?
You are going to laugh when I say this, but when I arrived to La Chaumesse, so let's say there were many skiers there, you know, and I speak English, I speak also Italian, Spanish, so I could communicate with all them.
Yeah.
And I was smiling and I said, guys, we are going to change this sport. Eh? How is possible? I was so thirsty and I was doing like this, and no car was coming. They were not bringing bottles, they were not bringing food, and say, where is the piston here? And everybody was laughing, you know? So the second day I had like 2 liters camelback. I was super empty. So we had to take water from a river. And then, no, sorry, that was the first day, I think. And the second day, they gave us water. You know, we had that kind of fitness. Of course, I guess that the riders that they were going, well, the skiers, sorry, now they are the skiers, it's not the riders anymore. The athletes that they were going fast, I guess that they didn't take it, but as that they were like a finisher mood, we took and was super good. But it was funny, you know, because like, I'm used that they bring me, you know, like, okay, we have pizza, and they give us food, they give us drinks, and to bring everything by yourself, you know, it was like, yeah, I mean, also like, you know, with the feet and everything, I had no problem, you know, all my skin was good, you know, I didn't have any problem. Yeah, the most difficult is like that technically I spend so much energy, you know, uphill. I'm a heavy guy. Now I am 82 kilos. So to move 82 kilos first, yeah, you need energy. And then especially when it's like 20% uphill, this is the first problem. And then the technical, you know, like, let's say, like, I'm not as smooth, you know? So I use, especially when I need to do the changes and et cetera. So when it's super steep, then I use a lot of energy. So you see guys that they have done probably like cross country ski, they are super smooth, you know, with the minimum energy, they are able to go so fast, and I use a lot of energy. So I think that my water or my hydration needed and my nutrition needed is super, super big, super big. And then it is true that I spent so much, so I arrived quite tired to the top, and then downhill, I am used to use even more energy, because let's say the missing technical I supply or I cover with my strength in the legs, no? So then I use even more. So in the end, yeah, a mix of everything, you know. So I think that the most difficult was the technical aspect. Of course, I mean, like you say, someone that starts with 40 years old is not so easy, you know, to get into, and especially if I would be living in a country that, I don't know, if I would have the ski slopes in 30 minutes, I could ski every day, then you can improve. But with the job I have, you know, it's not so easy. So yeah, it was a big challenge for myself, you know. Yeah, now it's, you know, in the checklist of my life, you know.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that you did Pieramenta with 20k of vertical meters before it. When you see not only the best guys, but also, let's say, the amateurs from 100 to the last place, they are doing Skimo day after day, they are doing races, they are preparing for Pieramenta, they have this like big goal at the end of the season. So wow, hats off to you. that's
no,
crazy.
No, this was the plan, eh? This was our plan to make more races, but they were all cancelled because we didn't have snow,
yeah.
Enough snow. So this was the problem. I like I said, you know, like My job is not the typical job that you work from, let's say, from Monday to Friday, and then you have the weekends free. In cycling, you know, like in December, we have a training camp of 25 days, 20 days, let's say. Then in January, you do another one of 20. So then already half of the winter is gone. You arrive to February, then we did Mallorca. From Mallorca, we went to Jaén. From Jaén, training camp. Then you have a couple of days, but also I have three kids, you know. So when I'm coming from the races, I can go there skiing, I don't know how many, so I can go a couple of days. So let's say in family wise also, you know, like the demand is high. So yeah, was not easy at all. But we managed, we experienced, and I think if I come, that is gonna come, I will come, I think, in a couple of years when I am better prepared. I would like to do when I have more time. Well prepared, not because of doing fast, but just because to be fresh, to enjoy it even more, you know, to open more days, you know, because sometimes I was like, happy, you know, like this. I could see only ski trap, ski trap, ski trap, ski trap, you know, like the Mikel, my partner was with the ski trap, you know, I could see only ski trap, you know, only the publicity. So yeah, this is the plan, you know. Like, if one day I come back, yeah, I would like to come better prepared. You know, now I gain a lot of experience, and especially what I appreciate is the environment, people, super super nice people, super friendly, everybody ready to help, and this is, I think, the good thing of the skimmer races.
Yeah, that's the true skimmer spirit, let's say. Yeah, that you come there and doesn't matter. Your nationality, your language, we are all one big family. Yeah, in the Finnish area, drinking beer, having fun, chatting about the race, and so on. It's the nicest thing about Pieramenta and the Schemo at all. When speaking about the atmosphere, how did you experience the Col della Forcola in the last stage? The people up there, I think in Schemo it's the most people you can, let's say, met in the mountaintop. So for cycling, it's very small because you got on Alpe d'Huez or these mountains, hundreds of thousands of people, but it was special.
the feeling is special, you know, like the feeling more or less is the same. Then we can discuss about the amount of people, but the amount of people doesn't make you feel different, because think that when you are in the top, so let's say in a cycling race, everywhere you have people, okay? So to make the difference between, let's say, one race in, I don't know, in France to the Tour de France, okay, the difference is super big still, but in a small race also you can have people, you know? So going like in a skimmer race like Tierra with no one, you are alone, then boom, all this amount of people, then the feeling is unbelievable, you know? And then you realize the effort that people make, the effort that to make, to go there, you know, because, you know, like they need to wake up early, they need to go there with the skis, okay, with the gondola, but they need to stay there for I don't know how long, waiting for you. So the feeling is super nice. And then you appreciate a lot, you really appreciate a lot, you know. So, and then also when you watch them, you know, like let's say in social media stuff, the videos and, you know, the photos, and, you know, like you really experience your real life again, you know, you enjoy again. So it was super nice, super nice. And I guess I haven't done, yeah, I have done only a skimmer race in Andorra, but I guess, and probably this I would see in the future, you know, I would like to do like more skimmer races, you know, but I guess that this is the speciality, or this is what makes Pieramenta so special, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the things that the people are passionate, the organizers are there, and they are cheering, all are happy and ready to help not only the first top teams, but they are waiting there till the last people, and that's special. That's very special, because in cycling you got the time limit. So for example, also the sprinters in mountain stages, they are half an hour behind the Pogacar and these crazy guys, but here some teams are maybe 2 hours behind the first team. So yeah, as you said, they need to wake up very, very early, and from 5 or 6, they are on skis till lunch, and then they go back down. So it's a full day experience for the spectators. You are so right in this, yeah. And you did 21 Grand Tours, which is like 21 racing days. So I guess to erase a 4 day was pretty much okay, yeah. You were missing 17 days still.
No, yeah, but the amount, the intensity, you can compare. So for me, let's say in a grand tour, okay, you have days that you are done, you have stages that you go full gas from the very beginning. Let's say a mountain stage that you start uphill, you start full gas, suffering, but in the descent, you can recover a little bit, okay? Even if you go fast and even if you need to go super focused. And even it happens if you go super quick uphill, then you are not so good in the descent. Okay, this happens in the road cycling. In the ski, it's even more. No, in the ski, you suffer the same uphill more or less because the way of suffering, let's say, is the same. But in the descent, you suffer more than in cycling. So let's say the feeling is like to go a TT of 3 hours, to go TT of 4 hours, to go. To have a TT of 5 hours or to have a TT of 6 hours. So I think the day, for example, the days are more intense in ski races. So I think it would be impossible to have like 21 days. I mean, because, and also you have flat stages in the tour, where let's say you kind of, when you go on the wheel, you save a little bit, but in the ski you never save nothing. Uphill you suffer, downhill you suffer, but you are not saving nothing. So that's why it makes so different. For the stages, they were already a lot. It is true that my condition is not as good as I was before. It is true that I am still fit. I did a marathon on, I think, in November. I still be below 3 hours, so with my weight, it's not so bad. But yeah, I do just a sport to keep my weight and to keep fit. And probably, with 44 years old, maybe like my recovery is not as good anymore. But just to make an idea, if someone is listening and if you want to have like a comparison between cycling and ski, I would say that the intense is much higher in ski, much, much higher.
In the past years, we saw some skimo racers coming to cycling world. I guess it's similar sports in terms of movement, of physiology, of the body, of the muscles in the legs you are using, training at altitude, also racing, and the big volume of training. I think that the best skimo guys, they are doing maybe 900 hours a year in training. For cycling, it's around 1,000. Yeah, I think the average for the professional. So it's very similar in these things. So where do you see similarities between these sports from a professional point of view? Because you are trainer, you are former cyclist, so maybe you can see something more than me.
No, physically, I think they are more quite similar sports, no? Quinn Simmons, for example, my teammate, he was an ex-mountain skier, and also we have, I think, in Bora, but sponsored by Red Bull, is Anton Palzer, and we are going to see more skiers in the future, and you will see why I said this. You will see more mountain skiers that they will join road cycling. Like I said, all the sports, they are getting more and more technical, and cycling is getting more technical, So what I'm missing, let's say, I tell you from my perspective, what I'm missing, that I was not doing a skimo since I was a kid. Now I am paying, let's say, I pay with 40% or 50% energy more needed, because I'm not good technically uphill and downhill. The same in cycling. The amount of energy that you need, if you are not good technically, maybe it's, I don't know, if it is 10% or if it is 14%, or I don't know how much would be in terms of percentage. But it is true, even if you are super, super strong, if you're not used to go in the peloton, you're not used to fight for the position, it's almost impossible. So I think the biggest barrier, the biggest problem there that I see is the technical skills. Yeah, I think it happens in all the sports, imagine that you are super strong doing a skimo, but now you want to start surfing. Yeah, if you are missing the technique, then you can do nothing. So this, I think, I see the biggest problem, and probably this is going to be the biggest problem. Even if we find, imagine that, for example, I really love skimo, and I see and I follow some guys. If in case, for example, we see someone that is super, super, super strong, we have the data, and we have in the team the data of one Eskimo racer that I can't say the name. that soon will make a test with us. The data are very good, very, very good. The question is like how he's gonna move in the peloton. And I don't know if the Eskimo fans they are they follow cycling, but there was a big crash a couple of days ago in Drouwers Vlaanderen, one of the races to prepare. And then you see the technique, how important it is. You know, if something happens, you know, you touch with someone, then it's a disaster. Then it's a disaster. And even the guys that are super, 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 super good technically, probably the best, they can make small mistakes, and these mistakes, they cause you like super big crashes and big big effects. So that's why I think the biggest difference, even if the physically they are pretty similar, and in terms of let's say like data, let's say physiology data, the technique would make the difference between both sports.
Yeah, and maybe from another side, can you imagine that some cyclists can do Eskimo more in December to gain vertical meters without riding their bike, so they keep more motivation for training? They are not on bike all the time.
For me, I think it's super good training, but super, super good training. And then for me, perfect situation would be to do some Eskimo in the morning. Let's say you arrive home, shower. Luckily, maybe you have a small sauna, and then some rollers in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of twin transition to cycling, you know. I think this is perfect. And we don't need to forget that normally all the sport that you do in Eskimo is in high altitude. So let's say in terms of your capacity for the muscles, for the oxygen, for the lungs is so good, so you get used to work in a low oxygen situation. So plus you use all the muscles that probably in cycling you don't use so many. You know, normally in cycling you use the lower part, you know, the legs, okay, the back, but not so much the arms. You know, in cycling in Eskimo you use everything. So I think as a preparation is super good. Then is the question mark about the crashes and potentially the risk that you have. Maybe I would suggest if there are riders also, you know, that if they can have like not super tight, you know, the boot, and in case of there is more crash boom that the ski goes out and the knees are saved like this. Maybe it's not the best if you are like aggressive skier, but then okay, you need to have like a proportionality, you know, between the risk and between the fun that you can have in the. So this is something that I used to do, you know, like at the beginning. I didn't have so much tension in my skis. So in case that a small crash was happening, boom, then my skis they were go out, and like this, I was minimizing the risk.
I guess you know that Quinn Simons was a Eskimo athlete in youth categories. He won a bronze medal in U18 World Champs. Are you speaking about Eskimo a bit?
a lot, but and he does a lot of Eskimo. But he does also he always does with super deep skis, you know, super wide skis with skis of 108 or something like this, you know. And then when we make fun, you know, talking about 64, and he says, "Mark, these are not the skis," you know. He likes to ski in powder, of course, there in Durango. And when he goes, he does like 3,500. He does like still a good load of training. So yeah, we talk a lot. Also, Gregor Rast, our DS, he does Eskimo. Steven Bellon, that is living in Andorra, he does. Carlos Verona also, he does in winter. We have a few of them that they do in the team. The DSs, many of us, Mickey Schär also, Maximum Four also, you know. So in the team, I would say, even Kim, like 60-70% of the DS in the team, we do Eskimo. And from the riders, I would say still four or five.
Okay, yeah, that's really nice. I also think Tom Squinch, he was doing Eskimo maybe.
Tom Squinch, yeah. And cross country as well.
Ah, okay,
which is very good. And Matthias Vacek from Czech Republic, when he was junior, he was a Czech champion in cross country, and he was 10th in the world in cross country. So we are skiers. Yeah.
So you can do Pieramenta with one of the guys.
No,
maybe
that's
5 years
strong. That's
from now.
They are too strong. I was telling to my son, I have three kids, one is 17, the other one is 14, and the other one is 12. And I was running a few days ago with the one of 14, you know, and I was telling, one of my dreams would be to do a Pieramenta with you when you are 18. He was telling me, are you gonna use the rope, Papa? Do I need to pull? And I said, no, I'm gonna do it on my way. You know, I will train and I will try to be fit. I will go with light material. We light material important, and I will try to do on my own.
So we are at the end. I have two more questions for you to not disturb you in this, let's say, busy days for you. So tell us more about your next Schemo goals. You said that maybe you want to come to Pieramenta one day, but we have a lot of races like Mezzalama, for example, which is crazy, but only one day, Adamello Ski Race Tour de Ruyter, which was held the last weekend. So do you have any plans to discover maybe more races of Grand Cours and others?
Yes, one that I would like to do first is Altitude, that is close by in Pyrenees. And they were discussing about Mezzalama, no? Like, okay, but this is three. And then I need to improve if I need to go down with the glacier, and I think that we need to go with a road wall three together, then it's something that I need to kind of train. So this is one of the plans. This is one of the plans and we're already looking. Like I said, my dream of one of my goals, I don't know how many years, would be to make all six Grand Cours races. So next year I will do again Altitoy, and then I think very possible that I would like to have all six. So yeah, we will try to find a time when it's possible, you know, together with the job that we have here in the team. I mean with the finisher philosophy, that it is true that I don't see so much anymore. Everybody is quite big, you know, everybody is like, you know, I am police, I am fireman, I have a business, I don't work so much, you know, I work part-time, and then it's not easy, you know, it's not easy because you don't see so many popular people. And it is true that also, like, you have time limits, you know. And even, I mean, even like you said, that the difference are big, to make it is not super easy. I mean, you need to be in certain good conditions. So, yeah, I mean, very possible that I am in the future. Like, I don't know if it will happen in 2025. Could be.
Yeah.
But I will be there, 100%. I will be there.
Okay, so next time you are at Pieramenta, we'll have a beer together and speak more about the schema and the life. So I'm looking forward
super,
to it.
Super.
And
super,
for the
super.
Last question, it's not a question, maybe if you have something to say to Schemo community from you, to the youngsters, to everybody. Yeah.
I think it's like, for me, it's like super nice sport where, with doing a comparison, I always say, but when they ask me, do you prefer cycling or skimon? I always say skimon. I'm going to explain why. Never in my life, when I was skiing, I was in a place that was not super nice. Okay. Always you are in the nature, always with trees, always with birds, always with the snow, always super nice, normally peaceful, super, super, super one. Okay. Cycling, sometimes I'm in the Alps, super nice, or super nice environment. Sometimes I'm in the city together with cars that they close. So, it's always enjoying. So, that is a super nice experience that I think that can connect you with everything, with the natural environment. And I really like, what I like is like the friendship and the philosophy, you know? The philosophy, everybody is super close by, they help each other. And I think it's super important, you know. And then, like you said, the nicest thing is that when you finish, you drink a beer and you talk about how was this and how was it in Grandmont, how was the DC saying that there is no, was not so good, it was super hard, then was icy there. So I think this philosophy is the most important. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if it is so popular, but I am coming from the camping world, you know. So let's say with the bands and stuff. So
yeah.
I like all together, you know, going with your van. Go with your van there, you sleep there, you wake up, you make your own coffee, when you're going to start skiing, you ask everybody, how is the situation, how are the conditions, where I should go there, you are going to find a super good, and this is what I like,
yeah.
You know, the chemic between the people, you know, racing or not racing, no, but this atmosphere is the nice one. And then, of course, when something happens, you know, that, you know, when you need to rescue or help someone, this solidarity, or when you break a material, you know, sometimes, you know, with the boas and stuff, and when you can help someone, this is super nice. So I think this is the best thing of the scheme, and we need to keep it. We need to keep it, and we need to keep this philosophy, helping each other. And this, I think, if it keeps like this philosophy, Eskimo will have a super nice future.
Yeah, and I think this is something we need to transfer more into real life, into, you know, because this is something what's maybe missing sometimes in the life. So yeah, that was one great quote or yeah, monologue from you. That was very nice to speak about the values and the best ending to this amazing podcast. Thank you again for finding the time. It was a pleasure to speak with you and to see that people from different sports feel the Eskimo the same way we feel it. So really, it means a lot to us.
Even more, you know, because for you, maybe it's quite normal. And then we are looking from outside. And even though probably that is the opposite way, you know, all the skiers, they are now watching Paris-Roubaix or Flanders or the Tour. Just, you know, that we are looking forward also to go skiing. So in the end, let's say that I don't know the admiration, but you know, the respect is like in both ways. So yeah, just, you know, that we really like the sport and we are happy to come into this beautiful sport.
Yeah. So thank you again and good luck to your team and see you soon at Piramenta or other races.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.